mentioned a couple of times at dinner and preached Stephen, but brother, he preached a great message this morning. And I appreciate that. Boring you to tears and just killing you with some old long drawn out something or another that you don't want to hear. I wish I was a better preacher than him. But I want God to speak to your heart tonight. And I want you to pray for me, will you? How many will pray that the Lord will help me? I want you to look through the preaching that I'm going to read about tonight is about David and his desire to bring the ark of God back to Jerusalem. Now, this, you know, after David had been established as king, and then you know how that Saul's jealousy drove, amen, David away. And now Saul is gone, Jonathan is gone, and David is on the throne. And soon, and this not long after he was on the throne, David had a lot of faults. Now he did, but you know that's one thing about the Bible. It doesn't try to cover up anything. And the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart. Now, when I first heard that, and I thought that meant that David was a man that God made by after his heart. But really, after studying that, that's not really what that means, I don't think. When it means a man after God's heart, it meant David was a man that was after God. He wanted God in his life. Amen. But you say, well, how did he do that and mess up so much? Well, we do, don't we? Huh? But I want you to notice David was a worshiper of God. He wanted to please God. He was a man after God's heart. Amen. Like a hart panteth after the water brook. David longed for God. Now, we've got folks in this house tonight. Some, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there's some here that are after God, and some are after church, or that's what they're waiting for, after church. Amen. And I'm not being cruel. Y'all think I'm being cruel? I'm telling you, we're going to have to get intense about this. We're going to have, the Bible said, let us walk circumspectly as wise, not as fools. We're going to have to be intent. And you know what the problem with us sometimes? We go from revival to revival. We'll have a good service and we'll feel better about ourselves and we'll go right back in the same rut we were in when we started. Brother, hey, are y'all listening to me now? Hey, man, we can't do that. I got to get to the text. David longed for the ark. A-R-K. Now, you know, if you're not a Bible reader, you're like that one old guy that he didn't understand this. He said, I can't get the Bible. I can't work it out. He said, I read where a guy builds an ark. Okay. It carries all the animals, two of all the animals on the earth. It was big as a football field. He said, then I read on a while later and I read where four men are carrying the ark on their shoulder. He said, I just can't get that figured out. Said something ain't right about that. Well, I'm going to tell you what's wrong, what's right about that. An ark. How many knows Moses was in an ark? A bulrushes. Huh? An ark was a container, just something to carry something in. And so God had ordained them to build an ark. And here's what he promised through the wilderness. He promised, amen, you build this ark and I'll dwell between those cherubims. On that ark was two angelic looking creatures that they had made out of pure gold. And in between those cherubims, he said, you get that and my presence will dwell. You mean you can put God in a box? Symbolic, his presence. He said, my glory. I'm going to put it right there. And that's going to be carried out. Everybody in all those millions of people could look out there and see those priests carrying that ark at those staves through those rings on that ark. Now the ark was about, it was about as wide as this pulpit here, and it wasn't hardly as high. It was about, 37 inches, best you can figure, about 37 inches high, and somewhere in the neighborhood of this size, Brother Zane. You ever see a replica of it? Pretty interesting. And on top of that ark. It was overlaid with gold and had a solid gold lid that went on top of it. And it was pure gold. That it was made, that lid, if I'm not mistaken, that lid was pure gold. And then those intricate carved cherubim, angels, one facing the other, were sitting right on top of that box. Amen. That lid was called the mercy seat. Amen. And God promised. Are y'all out there? I'm going to preach something to you maybe in a minute. If not, I won't let you linger long. But I'm going to tell you, in that ark, there were some things in that ark that were significant. They were symbolic. They represented something. Can anybody remember what was inside that box? There was a golden pot of manna. And y'all help me now. I'm gonna read my text in a minute and preach to you. But in that box, in that golden laid box that God said, and he said, I want these priests to carry this box. Y'all remember when they come to the Jordan River, and they had that box on their shoulder and the Jordan was in flood stage. Amen. He called the priest to go first and it was still in flood stage. How many of y'all feel like you're in flood stage? Amen. When it rains, it pours. But you know what? When those priests put that ark up on their shoulder and begin to walk out in that water, the Bible said when their feet, amen, touched that Jordan water, that it just rolled back. Praise God. And they walked through, and if I'm not mistaken, they waited right there, amen, until everybody passed through. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Randy? Amen. That ark represented the power and the presence and the provision of God. Inside that ark, amen, was that pot of manna. How many remembers the manna? Amen. They were hungry. A million plus people, probably a million and a half, walking through the wilderness. Amen. Nothing to eat. Amen. They cried and complained. And God sent down manna from heaven. Amen. Every day, fresh manna on the ground. Amen. They'd pick up what they needed for the day. Amen. God was telling them, I can provide for you. Amen. God's able to provide. And he took a pot of that golden pot and put some of that manna in it. And it never did die. It never went away. It was in that ark. In that ark also was the rod, amen, of Aaron that budded, an almond rod, amen, that was loose from the roots, amen, and God showed his approval upon Aaron and the priesthood and the gospel and the ministry by causing that rod to bud right before their eye. And they took that proof. Are y'all helping me preach? And they put that in that ark, amen. And I can imagine all of those saints of God telling their children, you know what's in that ark? The presence of God is in there, and the symbols of his provision and his power, and not only his power and provision, but in that ark, amen, was the stones where God's finger had wrote the commandments down upon it. Are you listening to me? We're living in a society where they don't believe God ever does anything or God ever says anything. Our little children sitting here, amen, little old Chandler sitting there. You know what we've got to have? Brother, we've got to raise him, Brother Kenny, that he knows that there's something in that ark. The power of God is there. I know we don't serve, we don't have that box today. Amen. But we have a place right here inside our hearts. Amen. Is God's provision and God's power and God's precepts that are eternal and forever settled into heaven. We're not playing games. This is not Disney World. This is not a fantasy world. Amen. This is real. And we've got to have the power of God if we survive. Oh, I wish I was a preacher tonight. Oh, do you realize the significance of this? How many remembers when the ark was taken away from Israel? It was taken away when Eli got so backslid and his children got so backslid. Now listen to me now, that they would not do right in the house of God. Do you know what, brother and sister, we at King Mountain Holiness Church, Pentecostal Free, ever how that goes? You know what we've got to have or we're not going to survive? We have got to have the power and the provision and the precepts, amen, of Almighty God living in our lives and going before us and being in every service. That's why we wait on the Lord. That's why we praise the Lord. Amen. That's why, amen, we fast and pray and seek God and have revival, have homecoming. Amen. Come on now. We've got to have the presence of God in our midst. And if the presence of God leaves us, if the ark is taken away, then we lose the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could preach to you. So when those boys backslid, amen, what was their names? Was it Phinehas and Hophni? When they committed lewd acts in the house of the Lord, they took more than their portion from the sacrifice. You see, God's plan was for the priests to eat of the sacrifices of the Lord. That was God's plan. But they were supposed to cook that meat tender. And then those priests were to put the tongs in and take out what those tongs would pull out of that meat and then take it and eat it. That was their portion of that sacrifice. But what they were doing, they weren't letting that meat cook. And they were putting those tongs in that raw meat and they were taking out the whole portion. Amen. Y'all getting this? You want to follow up on me? Just read your Bible. Hallelujah. It's all in there. Amen. And that's not only was they stealing out of the offering plate, not only was they stealing out of the offering plate, they were committing lewd fornication acts with the women out there in the court. They were using their power in the house of God and their power in the priesthood, amen, to sway those wicked women and to use them in a sinful, ungodly way. And God warned him. He warned him through a little boy, Samuel. He said, hey, you've got to quit that. Amen. And he said, you've got to stop your boys. I want to tell you why we still preach holiness at King Mountain. Amen. Listen to me now. I tell you why we've still, amen, got to live holy if we go in the choir. Oh, if somebody say amen. Because if we don't live holy and we don't do what God said, and God's going to say, I'm going to pull my spirit. I'm going to pull the anointing. You ain't liking this, but I'm going to preach to you anyhow. Amen. And so God, amen, allowed the Philistines, amen, to take the ark of God. Amen. And when he did, they lost the battle. Amen. They could not win without the presence of God. Amen. This is not my business. This is God's business. I can't preach to you without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can't receive my preaching without the Holy Ghost. You can't live right. You can't spit right. You can't walk straight without the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I hate to bore you. But I'll tell you what, if you knew how important this message was, you'd get up on the edge of your seat right now. Instead of looking at the clock and getting ready to go. I'm telling you the truth. Here's what happened. They carried that ark away. They came back and told the preacher, Brother Kenny. He was an old-time preacher. He knew it. We ain't got many of them left. You know that? Brother Stump up here, 80 years old, I guess. He's an old-time preacher. We ain't got many of them left, Sister Helen. Somebody heard me on tape, and they said they thought I was an old man when they met me. Boy, weren't they surprised, huh? They came in church over there in Kentucky, and brother was there from up in Indiana, and he brought his dad with him, and they were sitting on the front seat, him and his dad. And his dad was about 70, and that brother come in and heard my tapes and got to looking for me. And he bypassed me and went over to this 70-year-old man. Are you Brother Webb? No, I'm over here. This young-looking guy over here. Huh? Yeah. My voice sounded old. But I tell you what, I wouldn't mind being an old-time preacher. Y'all out there, Eli was an old-time preacher that when it came to his children, he couldn't correct them. And so he lost the blessing. He lost his vision. He lost it all. He lost the ark. When they came, listen to me now, when they came and brought him news that the ark had been taken, the Bible said he was sitting on a wall. Amen. Out there just, amen, waiting for the news. And they came up and told him, amen, that the ark had been taken. And the Bible said he got so upset that he fell over backwards and broke his neck and died on that day. Amen. One of the boys had a wife. You wouldn't think he had a wife. Amen. All the trifling around that he did, but he had a wife and she had a child. It was born on that day. When she heard the news, amen, she went into labor and she was born. And the child was born and they called his name Ichabod. Amen. Which means the glory has departed. You know what had departed? The glory of God. You see, the Spirit of God is one thing, but the glory of God, it's a glory. It's something you can see, something you can feel. Amen. I'll tell you, we still have religion, but we've lost the glory. We still have commandments, but we've lost the glory. We still go to church, but we've lost the glory. Amen. The devil's carried away the power and the glory and the precepts. Amen. You're sitting in this house now. You were here this morning. You heard the word, but you didn't see the glory. Can you give me a little more time? I hate to beg, like Brother Robert. He begged for 5 minutes. I'm going to beg for 15 more. Praise God. I want to preach to you a little. How many with me tonight can say, preacher, I have a fear that we're going to lose the glory from our presence? Huh? Brother, we come to church, sit around, and you know, really, really, brother, and little old young as you want them to set up and pay attention and you know, and quit coloring and playing. But if we don't have enough going on to get their attention, you can't hardly sit there and nurse a kid for 2 hours and nothing going on. Is that right? Try that. You'll lose it yourself if you ain't careful trying to pull at them and keep. I'll tell you, we need to have a move of God again. I'm almost to tell you what my text is. Amen. So the ark had been gone for 20 years. Now, the Philistines didn't keep it long because they got a curse came among them because God didn't want to be among the Philistines. Isn't it something how, amen, like the Bible said, the cross, amen, to the church is glory, but to the world, a stumbling block. And it's something how the Bible said that it depends on the rock. If you fall upon the rock, you'll be broken to pieces. But if the rock falls on you, what? There's two sides to this Christ. Are you hearing me? Amen. There is. Here's the lamb and the lion. Can you say amen? I want to tell you, I said there's the lamb and the lion. Right now, brother, God is calling for those backslid people. Amen. The arms are open wide. Brother Robert said it just right. I'm going to call brother, amen, Lowry when I get home and tell him that he didn't fail. That he's still living right here tonight. But I want to tell you, we need the power of God. Little old Tom back there is getting feeling something out there, but I'll tell you what he needs to feel before too long. He needs to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. He needs to feel the power of his word. He needs to know, amen, that God put his approval on the ministry and the gospel in the church. He needs to know that the precepts of God are not just suggestions, but they're commandments of God. Oh, if somebody say amen, I'm about to feel like preaching. Hallelujah. When David got on the throne after 20 or some years, one of the first things he did, Brother Stiltner, when he moved into that church house, I can just feel this now. He said, I'll tell you what, that we ain't had a good holiness meeting in this church in 20 years. Huh? For the Bible said they did not have the ark during all the days of Saul. And so he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Y'all still here? He said, we're going to go get the ark. It's over there in the house of, can't pronounce that name. What does it say? It's, Obed-Edom. Amen. And he had two boys. And their names was Uzzah and, what was the other one? Y'all there? I can go back and get my text. I done got into this now. But he sent over to get the ark. Listen to me. What? Ohio? Is it Ohio or? You see it? What does it say? Ohio and Uzzah. They lived. That was this man's boy, Obed-Edom. That's where that ark had been for 20 years. These boys. Now you listen to me now, children. These boys had grew up right around this ark. It had been out there in the shed for 20 years. They got word the king is coming after the ark. You know what they did? They built a cart to put it on. And they put it up on the cart, and they got a team of oxen. And here they went, brand new cart. Now I want to ask you where they get an idea like that. Does anybody know anything wrong with that? Hey, man, I tell you, the pressure gets on sometimes. And I'll tell you, I have felt the pressure right here. I've been here preaching holiness, even when people would stand up in this congregation and talk about what great miracles was going over at the church where they had the ark on a new cart. And me knowing good and well that that was against the commandment of the Lord. Are y'all listening to me? I said, come on now. But you know, I learned years ago. That's right. I've had people come right here. They was having a meeting in the area and they came and told me that it was so powerful that they saw water flowing down the center aisle in that church. And you said, well, why didn't you run and see? Amen. I knew that what they were doing was contrary to what the Bible said. And in due time, it was going to settle down and it was going to be just like it was. Are you listening to me? I don't believe in that rot. Come on now. Amen. I've been told. Amen. That great miracles are done. And come to find out the preacher is doing the preaching. Amen. Had been in jail for fraud. Had about his fifth wife. I don't believe in preachers with their fifth wife. Amen. Come on now. That's against the commandment of the Lord. You ain't liking this preacher now. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. They put this ark on a new cart. Amen. And that was against God's word. How many knows how God said to carry that ark? He said, you sanctify me those priests. And you put those four priests that are sanctified from the Levite tribe, and you put them out in front, and you put that ark upon their shoulder where they can feel the weight. Amen. Come on now. And they're not to touch that holy thing with unholy hands. Amen. I wish somebody would say amen. But they just kept on pushing and kept on presumptuously living their own way, thinking they're going to have the power of God. Amen. Back. But brother, there was a tragedy struck, and instead of having revival, they had a funeral. Amen. Come on now. And the Bible said that the oxen stumbled and the ark shook, and Uzzah put his hand on the ark. Amen. To steady it. If you'd ask him, he'd have said he was a religious man. He said, I know all about the ark, but there was one thing he didn't know about it. You're not supposed to touch it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Am I preaching to you yet? He had a zeal, but not according to knowledge. He touched that ark. It's like some of you children in here. Amen. You'll commit all kinds of sinful, heinous acts. Come right back in here and shout your shoe heels off. Get right back on the platform. Oh, how I love Jesus. And you're looking at pornography and cussing in the background. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a day. Amen. When that new cart, that new religion, amen, ain't going to do you. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. That he died. What did the Bible say, Brother Robert? I believe it said, and Uzzah died by the ark. Amen. The revival stopped. And David asked this question. If you can find it, all right. But David asked, the Bible said it upset David. And he asked this question. How am I to return the ark again? Y'all ain't helping me preach now. Come on. Have you asked that question lately? How are we going to have revival? How are we going to do it? How are we going to get the power of God back in our lives? That's a good question, isn't it? Listen, he went back and everybody went home and they sent that ark over to another man's house. And David got news just a day or two later that God was blessing that house. And now God, David knew that if he could get that ark back where it's supposed to go, 3 months he dwelt in this man's house, and his house prospered every way you could look. And David said, I've got to get, hey, you might go to a meeting somewhere and the power of God be there. And you say, I've got to get that back in my heart. I don't know how you are. Amen. But I've got to have it. That's why it worries me, Brother Wayne, when we come and the meeting's so dead. Amen. You say we can't shout all the time. It ain't the fact you're not shouting. It's the fact you're looking out the window and looking at your clock. Amen. Come on now. It's the fact that you've got something else that you'd rather be doing. That's what bothers me. Amen. You don't have to run the aisles every night. Lord, we don't do that every night. We just do it about once every year. Amen. But I want to tell you something. We've got to have a move of God. Amen. David got hungry. You need him in your life. Amen. Come on now. You buried your friends and buried your loved ones who went the same road you're going on. It looks like you'd wake up and say, I've got to have the power of God in my life again. So we got a man that died by the ark. My message tonight, and I'm not done, but my message tonight is dying or dancing. That's my message. We read just a little bit later, David evidently got the book out. And he said, I want you to sanctify the priest. And you go up there and you get the ark. Hey, are y'all listening to me? And the Bible said as they came down through there, every six paces, wasn't it? Every six paces they stopped. Man, and made a sacrifice. Woo! Don't let me scare you now. Amen. But I'll tell you, amen. We're missing something somewhere, Brother Wayne. I said we're missing something somewhere. Praise God. We can't hardly get through one song. Amen. Two songs and we're through with that. Praise God. We can't pray 5 minutes. We'll take prayer requests for 15. Amen. If I gave all of my requests, it'd take 20 minutes. Amen. And then we'll pray 2 seconds. Amen. Come on. Amen. The Bible said, he that seeks me early shall find me. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I wish I could preach to you. We need to go from dying, amen, to dancing. That man died by the ark. Some of our children, amen, come on, are not here tonight. Amen, they've died spiritually right by the ark. But did we done something wasn't done right? Amen, somebody, come on now. Amen, evidently didn't reverence, amen, what they knew about the ark. I wish somebody would say amen. Oh, I talked to loved ones. Somebody called me, had a burden for, amen, for a loved one. Amen, and said, I feel like God's going to deal with them. Amen. Come on now. But after that, listen. But judgment's coming after a while. I wish somebody would say amen. Oh, but listen. I want to tell you something. Amen. I like that part about God. Amen. Dealing. Oh, raised right in church. Are you here? I've talked to people that went to church for 30 years. Amen. And all of a sudden, they lost their reverence for what they'd heard, for what they'd felt, for what they knew. I've seen people dance around right in this church that now they're dead by the ark. Amen. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me. I'll tell you now, I'm not being mean. I'm going to tell you what I feel. There's people in this building that could care not one hoot what I'm saying right now. Now, I don't say that. It don't. And when I was a young preacher, it would make me mad. And I'd scald the whole crowd. I'm not going to do that tonight. I've got a little older. And I know a little better than that now. But I felt the Lord nudge me to tell you. Amen. You don't like church. Huh? You know who I'm talking to. You care less. You almost laugh at what I'm doing right now. That's right. Amen. There have been people that I've talked to about, you know, are you afraid you're going to reap what you sow? Oh, I don't believe in that kind of stuff. It don't matter, friend, if you believe in it or not. It's going to happen nonetheless. Amen. Well, you're going to reap what you sow. Uzzah was raised up for 20 years. He knew all about what that ark looked like, but he didn't know what it meant. He didn't know the power and the glory behind it. Somewhere he lost something. Amen. In those years. And now he's dead by the ark.
ark. Amen. But listen, amen, David sanctified the priest, and they put it in the right place. And every six steps they made sacrifice. You know what's wrong with your experience? Amen. It ain't the fact that you're not in church. But when you leave here, you won't pray no more till you get back here next Sunday. That's what's wrong with you. That's why you feel uncomfortable. That's why you have no power. That's why you have no victory. You've lost your reverence for a life in Jesus. Amen. Every six paces they made a sacrifice. And what were some of the stuff they did, Brother Robert? Did it tell? Huh? They sacrificed oxen and fatling? Go ahead. Now they done a lot. They did a lot of things on the first trip. Mm-hmm. They played their music, they sang, but they messed up. And now they come back again. They offer the sacrifice every six paces. And I'm telling you, when they brought that thing into Jerusalem, the Bible said that David danced before the Lord. Now, just a few months ago, there was death at the ark. And now there's dancing. What's the difference? What thus saith the word of the Lord. You're in this house tonight. Amen. Sister Leanne, would you come and play something? You're in this house tonight. You're not getting this. Now, I know what I'm talking about, brother. I want you to help me. Who's going to help me to finish this up? I know what the Lord spoke to me this morning. Listen to me. You're in this house, and you're like old Uzzah. You've been to church many times, raised around it, know all about it. And I want to beg some reverence right here. I don't mean to be rude. And it's not for my sake that I ask this. But if you laugh God off tonight, you may not come back. You're playing games, but God ain't. God don't play games. You hear me now? Oh, Uzzah knew all about church. He's like a lot of our kids growing up. I remember Amanda grew up and she could watch. I remember Sister Leanne. I remember her. Your mama would come in here and she could clap her hands like the people in the church. And she could do your mama. And I pick it out just like that. She'd clap her hand. She had all of it down. She could shout. There's little kids in preachers' home. I've seen them. They say, who does this look like? And they'll shout like old brother so-and-so. You know who it is right off the bat. But you know, that ain't helping them one bit. You come to the house of God, listen to me. You come to the house of God and you're in here and you even like Brother Randy. And you even, really, I've had people tell me, you're my favorite preacher and don't do nothing I say. You know, it ain't reverence in me necessarily that's all about. That's part of it. But brother and sister, you've got to reference what God means to you. Sometimes I think we turn our church into a playground. Into a rec room. Huh? Now, I know we're not living under the law, and I know this house is not sacred per se in itself. But what it means, and what God means to us, and what His truth means. If you can battle in the world in sin and still go to heaven, then it's 180 degrees opposite of what the Bible teaches. I'm telling you, I want a revival that'll go from dying. I was here, and I've told y'all, y'all may not even remember this, probably don't. I preached it since that last year, Brother Kenny, just before we went up to Joey's, and I preached that night on dead on arrival, alive on departure. Y'all remember me mentioning that here in the church that morning? And I'm going to tell you where that came from. I was sitting right there where Brother Steve is, and I was watching my flock come in on Sunday morning. Believe it or not, I got here before some of y'all. And I was watching you come in, Brother Mac, and I watched them come and plop down and fold their arms and drop their head. And I said to God, God, they're dead. My people are dead. And then I thought, they're dead on arrival. DOA. And then the Lord, after I spoke that, and I told the Lord in my heart, Lord, you help me. I'll preach on that. And this was going on while, you know, right here in the preliminaries. And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, how are they going to be when they leave here? And he put it back on me. What are you going to do about it? And brother, y'all don't even remember it, I guess, but I hit the pulpit and I preached that very next 5 minutes I preached on it. How are you going to be when you leave? Dead on arrival. I called Becky. I went up to Joy's and took that up for the next day. And I called Becky back and I asked her about it. I said, how do you check? What do you do to see if somebody's dead or not? What's, and you know, the vital signs and how they check for pulse and respiration and temperature and all of those things. And then she said, and what do you do then? Do you try to resuscitate them? And she said, yes, unless they've got DNR on their chart. Do not resuscitate. Well, I'm going to tell you what I felt this morning. I felt like we had people dead at the ark, and on their chart, they've got do not resuscitate. Now, how do you feel, sister, when someone passes on and you see that chart? How do you feel? Helpless. Ricky, I thought of you when I thought of this today. They had you when they had you on that machine. And really, the question was asked. And I don't mean to bring up bad memories, but you're in a pretty warm spot right now. I mean, you're in pretty good shape. And really, the question was asked. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't mean to pry into family business here, but you waited on Paul to come, and you were out, and they had you on the machine. You'd been on there for I don't know how long. And they called you in, and I was right there because I want to tell you, brother, it's kind of a public place to talk about this, but they said, Brother Randy, pray. What should we do? And I said, I'll go pray is what I said. Don't ask me. Huh? But really, the decision was made to just keep you alive. And look here. Huh? Look here. Liver was found. You're in this house. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're in this house. You were here this morning. And you're in this place, and you're dead by the ark. And you're telling everybody, leave me alone. You may have said that lately. Won't you leave me alone? Let me live my life. Do not resuscitate. But I've got news for you. We're going to ignore that request. We're going to do this thing right. And we're going to see somebody come alive. And instead of dying by the ark, I want to see you dancing again by the ark. Now, God may not, you right now, God may mean nothing to you. The only thing God means to you is when you're flying up and down the highways, you're hoping if you have a wreck, God won't let you go to hell. That's a pretty poor relationship with God. And there's a good chance that you'll go straight to hell. Y'all awful quiet in here. How many knows I'm preaching to my church tonight? Huh? I'm going to tell you, you need to change your attitude. Hear me? If you're going to live and not die, you are going to have to change your attitude. You're going to have to be like David and say, Lord, how am I going to get this back? And God told him, you go do it like I said. Now, right here's the altar. You want it back? You do it like God said. Now, if you die and go to hell, you know whose fault it is? Do you know? You want to know whose fault it is? If you die and go to hell, you know whose fault it was that Uzzah died? Whose fault was it? It was God's fault, was it? Whose fault was it? You think he knew better? Yes, he did. And you do too. You do too. You can brush me off. You can brush your husband off, your wife, your companion, your mom, your dad. You can brush this message off. But you won't brush God off. Somebody said God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. But that's really not true. God said it. And that settles it. Whether you believe it or not. Time's running out on some of you. I'm just telling you what the Lord said. Time is running out on some of you. It ran out on Judas. In his little old feeble mind. He thought he could take him pieces of silver back in there and just throw them down and everything would be okay. Just like some of the games you've played lately, trying to justify what you've done. But there ain't but one remedy. Peter went out and wept bitterly. And was repentant. Have you repented? Have you repented? So I try to do right, but I can't. Have you repented of it? Have you turned away from it? Have you acknowledged to God you're sick of it? Bow your heads with me tonight. I love you. I'm glad the Lord helped me preach to you. I've got such a burden for you. Now, who's going to be first to come and pray? I'm going to call the whole crowd in here. That don't seem to be helping you none. It don't. Won't you just come on down here and say, I'm sick of this. I don't want to take the chance of dying by the ark. Now, I told you right when I told you there's some in this house that don't even like church. You don't like preaching. You don't even like it. You certainly don't like holiness. It's just too much trouble. There are folks in here almost too lazy to live for God. The devil's put a spirit of sorry, lazy spirit on them that they don't even have honey to get up to stay saved. What you need is God to come to you tonight and change your life. Anybody in here going to pray? Anybody feel like praying? Really? How many feels like somebody ought to pray? I want you to slip your hand up. I know we all need prayer, but there's some in here that God, listen, our whole church needs prayer. We need to get back to old time religion where the glory is among us one more time. Can you say amen? Let's all stand. God bless you. I love you. I want you to come and pray. If you're hypocriting around, I want you to quit it tonight. Because you're going to go to hell if you keep it up. If you're playing games with God and your life is all about you and what makes you happy and what makes you thrills you and gives you entertainment and pleasure, I want you to come down here and ask God to sanctify your heart right now. Boy, y'all looking at me funny. You say, what in the world has got a hold of you, Brother Randy? Well, I'm just going to tell you. It's called the anointing of God and the call to preach and a love for souls. Somebody needs to come, Brother Robert. They really do. Don't you tell me. I know God wants to help somebody. You fooled around on God. You need to come on. Maybe I put it to, it's a tight on you that you're afraid people think you've committed an axe murder or something, but it don't take a great old big ugly sin to go to hell.